Sally Hardcastle worked at the BBC for 3 decades. She was a researcher, a reporter and a presenter. But according to those who worked with her, first and foremost, she was a journalist. Sally began working at the BBC in the 1970s as a television researcher. She eventually became a reporter both for television, where she worked on the BBC's Nationwide Current Affairs programme, and radio. In the UK, she was perhaps best known for her reports on The World Tonight on Radio 4, where she focused particularly on the affairs of the European Union. She also worked extensively in the United States, where she had lived for a time. It was a country she had a deep interest in, and that interest led to a landmark series called From Sea to Shining Sea, a close-up look at life in America following the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
The confident voices of the class of 88 brought back a time when a man of Harvard, John F. Kennedy, inhabited the White House. Unlike his presidential predecessors, he had power plus all his own hair and teeth. He appeared a potent example of what youthful vigour could achieve. Segregation laws imposed in the South after the Civil War, when whites feared freed black slaves would usurp power, were surviving too long in the 20th century. But by 1963, blacks and the thousands of young whites who'd gone south that summer to help in the fight for civil rights were finding the courts too slow. Dorith Kearns was among them.
I remember so well the mood of that march because we wanted so much to have President Kennedy come and join the march, and there was an expectation in the air, but he never came, and I left with a sense of disappointment about him.
If an American, because his skin is dark, cannot eat lunch in a restaurant open to the public, if he cannot send his children to the best public school available, if he cannot vote for the public officials who represent him, then who among us would be content to have the color of his skin changed?
An excerpt from Sally's Radio 4 series, Sea to Shining Sea. Well, Sally certainly had a way of ensuring she got interviews with well-known Americans, as her colleague Tim Bowler remembers.
What always made me laugh was her putting on an American accent. And she'd always say, yeah, this is Sally Hardcastle. And she'd put on an American accent to try and talk to the Americans and coax them to give her what she wanted. She was just brilliant at getting people to talk to her. She was a natural reporter. She wasn't interested in management. She wasn't interested in being a member of the corporation. She was just interested in getting the story. And she was very good at that.
Sally came into the news business at a time when women didn't normally do that sort of thing, but she managed to fit into the hard-living side of the industry, embodying some of the old traditional ways of doing news. She cut her journalistic teeth working among the Fleet Street pack. You could say that she was born into journalism. Her father, William Hardcastle, was a former editor of Britain's Daily Mail newspaper and went on to establish one of British radio's most enduring news programmes, The World at One.
This is William Hardcastle, and later in today's World at One, the danger of confrontation in the Sahara, and on-the-spot report...
He really did love work. But I understand that, because I love work. But I don't really seem to need work as much as he did.
In the latter years of her career, she joined World Business Report on the BBC World Service as a presenter. I was her producer on my first foreign trips for the BBC in 2004, and it was an education in how to be an excellent journalist. She would always treat every interviewee the same, with respect and warmth, and she was genuinely interested in their views as individuals. Everyone got the same professional approach, from the Reverend Jesse Jackson to several very excited George Bush supporters at a Republican rally to unionised workers on the assembly line at Chrysler. The following year, Sally reported from Botswana in southern Africa. Despite a lucrative income from the diamond mines, Botswana at the time had an unemployment rate of 20%.
There was a carnival atmosphere in and around Habaroni's splendid soccer stadium when the local team, the Zebras, met the Simbas, visitors from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thousands were tooting big horns, shouting, eating from long lines of stalls. It was a good-humoured crowd of mostly young people. I dampened the mood of a few by asking them about jobs.
It's very difficult to find a job in this country. Most of graduates are actually not employed. Like myself, right now, I'm a graduate, but I'm not actually working.
So how do you manage? What do you do?
For survival, it's very difficult to survive.
When you did your education, did they say to you, you do this and you'll get a job? And you thought that would be true?
Yeah, definitely. They are saying we are being trained to be employed. But when we finish our training, definitely there's no any job opportunity.
At one training centre, young men and women are learning to design and make clothes. I asked one, Hane, what she would do with her training.
I want to be my own boss. So I think from here, from what I've learned here, I'll do something that will benefit me in the future.
And what chance do you think you have of being your own boss, of going into business?
You know, it's nice to be your own boss because you do whatever you want. There's nobody who's pushing you around and around.
What are the chances for young people in Botswana? Are there good opportunities here, good chances?
Yeah, I've got good opportunities, only that we don't use them.
Possibly a young entrepreneur of the future. A large proportion of the population of Botswana is like her, under 30, and the country needs her kind of ambition if it's to increase prosperity.
Make no mistake, Sally was a tough, colourful character. She expected the people she worked with to match her high levels of professionalism. But she had a warmth to her personality which endeared her to both colleagues and the people she interviewed. Everyone who knew her will have a Sally story, and that story will involve good humour and mention of her unforgettable laugh. We will miss her immensely.